Thank you, Brother Tenney.
Thank you,
Brother. Thank you for being with us to preach tonight.
Amen. And everybody said, Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
And everybody said, Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
And now everybody said, Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Oh, hallelujah. If you believe it, say amen. Praise God. I told our brethren in the minister seminar a couple of days ago that I was very aware of the fact that our what's could divide us, but our who unites us. You know, I could say, what do you believe? And I'm not talking about fundamental doctrine, articles of faith, but for instance, in the line of prophecy. If I said, what did you believe? Well, we might go in 100 different directions. You know, some people are pre-mill and some are mid-mill and some are post-mill and some are windmills. They just blow hot air all the time. But we have a difference of opinion prophetically and in other areas. But if I say, in whom do you trust? What do you say?
Jesus.
Oh, there is a union that forms around the Lordship of Jesus. When you get to talking about that great God and His redeeming work at Calvary and this tremendous apostolic message, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And let me say again that I am delighted to be here with all of you. God bless you and love you. And I pray that the Holy Ghost would come in a unique way and do His sovereign work here tonight. For only as we lift up this Lord can His work be done. We sang it tonight, if I be lifted up. Did you know in your heart, even silently as I preach, if you will transfix Jesus upon His cross and lift Him, that you will greatly contribute to the effectiveness of this message. I can have no more ministry among you than you give me. The Holy Ghost will never force His way on any person. That's why Paul said, pray that the word might have free course. And I'm asking you to lift up Jesus in your heart, because I have something I want to share with you tonight that I believe is the very heartbeat of God Himself. I have a message from the Lord tonight. In the book of Exodus, chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. From the 12th of Exodus, we will begin reading with verse 12. Exodus 12, 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Notice particularly that phrase, when I see the blood. My subject tonight, the power of the blood. The power of the blood. Jesus, sovereign God, we take dominion over every spirit that would oppose the Holy Spirit tonight. I loose the spirit of power and victory and life. I bind this service to the blood of the Lamb. I claim victory to the glory of God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. I do not need to give a lengthy exegesis on Exodus 12. The least Sunday school scholar here tonight is familiar with the first Passover, the slaying of that initial Paschal lamb, the application of the blood to the lintels and doorposts of the homes of the Israelites, and their protection from the death angel. The bottom line was this. God said, when I see the blood of the lamb, it's going to speak to me and to my death angel, and I will pass over you when judgment comes upon Egypt. I cannot explain it, and I will admit that I am trafficking in truth that human tongue nor pen has ever delved into its deepest depths. I cannot explain to you the intricacies that are involved in the message of the blood of the lamb. Why God even chose lambs, I don't know. But there's something about the blood of the lamb that attracts God. In all probability, it was a lamb that God slew in the garden when he covered Adam and Eve in their nakedness. And from that day to this, man has had a built-in theology of a covering for sin through the blood of the lamb. There's something about the blood of the lamb that excites God in his highest thoughts. It emits, causes an emission from him of his deepest emotions and brings forth his greatest power. If you want power with God, for man, and against Satan, it only comes through the power of the blood. There is no substitute for the power of the blood. The power of the blood is seen in three dimensions in the 12th of Exodus. That blood was for protection. That blood was for deliverance. And that blood was for a purging from their past. It protected, delivered, and purged them. As I read, he said, if you're under the blood, when the death angel comes, you are protected. When you get out of here, when you're delivered from here, it's going to be by the blood. That's why every year you're going to keep the Passover, to remind you that only the power of the blood of the Lamb delivered you. As I explained a few evenings ago, the only way they got out of Egypt was by the blood, under the cloud, through the water, and full of the Lamb. Because not only was his blood applied to the doorpost, but they had to eat him. His blood saved them. His flesh nourished them. Delivered by the blood of the Lamb. And then purged from their past by the blood. Go to the Gospels. You'll find three things there. You will find protection from the enemy, deliverance from Satan, and purging from past sins, all by the power of the blood. You may say, Brother Tenney, that's a very elementary subject. We've known that all of our life, and I am afraid that we can, if we're not careful, drift from the basics of our message. It's not enough for you to have head knowledge of this power. The preaching of the power of the blood is not a theological position alone. I am not here to defend a theological position. The devil does not care how much you know about the theology of the blood of the Lamb. As long as you do not know how to use. Now, my message tonight is not going to be necessarily a defense of the theology of the power of the blood and salvation through the blood. You believe that? Many liberal churches do not believe that, but we are conservative, fundamental, Pentecostal. Somebody said, well, that's Pentecostal doctrine. We'd be better off to say that's Bible doctrine that Pentecostals believe. I'm not preaching to you Pentecostal doctrine. I'm preaching to you Bible doctrine. What can make me white as snow? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. No other foul I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other foul I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, I gladly proclaim there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flow lose all their guilty stains. My friend, if you're ever saved, it'll be by the blood of the Lamb. You got to know how to use it. Not just mimic it, not just sing about it, but it is a viral force in the body of Christ. And I want to share with you the power of this blood. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, Brother Cliff.
And almost all things.
Now notice what Paul said. He wanted to say all things, but he thought, he said, well, just about everything that I can think of. Read on.
Are by the law.
By the law.
Purged
with blood. He said the blood takes care of just about everything I can think of. Read on. Did you ever hear a preacher preach, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins? It's not there. Oh yeah, Brother Tenney, I've heard that preached all my life. It's not there. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, period. Because the blood does not just take care of sin. It purges everything. It can deliver you from twisted paths. Past, from warped emotions, from preconceived ideas, from haunting skeletons that are in your closet, liberating you from inferiority or superiority complexes. He said, I'm telling you, the blood will take care of just about everything and put it in remission. Praise God. Now, remission was a favorite term of Luke, who wrote not only Luke's gospel, but Acts. You read how many times Luke used remission. Luke was a physician. And remission was then and is now a medical term. Did you ever hear anybody say, well, so-and-so's got a malignancy, got a cancer, but the doctors say it's in remission? That means it's retreating. It's backing up. It's on the run. It is arrested, praise God. And the fellow that's got it is being purged. They can't explain it, but it's in remission. And he said, look, if you get a good dose of the blood of the Lamb, you can watch the devil and all his works start backing up. They go in remission. They can't take it. They can't stand it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Almost everything is purged by the blood. Not enough just to verbalize it. We've got to learn the principles that lead to the release of this power. And I promise you, I knew before I started tonight, there's not a message I preach in this camp that the devil will fight any harder. So get ready. If you're a sleepy head, you're fixing to go to sleep. If you're scatterbrained, your mind is fixing to go in a million directions. But if you can do as Peter said, gird up the loins of your mind and bring all the tangled edges into the suitcase and close it, the Bible will show you how to use the power of the blood of the Lamb in your own life and put the devil in remission and put the flesh in remission and put sin in remission and put wilderness in remission. I cannot give you the want to, but I can help you find the how to. There are many Bible examples that portray the blood for protection, deliverance, and purging. Isaiah chapter 6. It was in the year King Uzziah died. Brother Whalen, you mentioned it this morning. He had been looking at Uzziah on the throne, He's my man. He's going to deliver Israel. He's it. He's my hero. He's my mentor. But suddenly Isaiah looked up one day and that throne was empty. Uzziah was gone. He was forced to lift his eyes higher than any earthly scaffolding. And as he lifted up his eyes above the earth and its potentates, he said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And it was a smoky temple. That's what you call holy smoke. Praise God. There must have been some fire there. And I saw the seraphims. And they were crying, holy, holy, holy. He is a thrice holy God. My friend, never does the Bible say God is love, love, love. Never does it say he is peace, peace, peace. But it does say, don't you forget, he is holy, holy, holy. And that's why I can preach follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Nothing can make you holy but the blood of the Lamb. Did you hear me? Nothing can make you holy but the blood of the Lamb. Creeds don't make you holy. Standards don't make you holy, as wonderful as they are. But the first thing is, you got to be washed in the blood. Verse 6. Brother Cliff. Now I'm looking at perfect glory. Isaiah's looking at perfect glory. What's the secret to perfect glory? God a moving. The pillars in the temple moving, smoke getting in your eyes, and angels, all wings. Wings usually mean spirit, more spirit than anything else. Whipping around, fanning the smoke. Whew. Read on.
Which he had taken with tongs from off the altar.
Now look, this seraphim took a live coal with tongs, T-O-N-G-S. I used to preach a sermon on the subject too hot for angels to handle. What that blood and fire at the brazen altar represented was Holy Ghost salvation. And Peter said the angels want to look into it, but they wouldn't touch it with 10-foot tongs. What we've got tonight is too hot for angels to handle. But Isaiah said what he wouldn't touch with anything less than tongs, he touched to my lips. And what's too hot for angels to handle is just suited for human lips. Hallelujah. Those fiery coals came off of the brazen altar. And the brazen altar was an altar of blood first and then fire. Perfect glory came by the blood and fire. Every light that burned in the tabernacle got their ignition, their fire, from this bloody altar, the brazen altar. It's dangerous for any man to get to the fire that hadn't been through the blood. Because the first thing they become is unteachable, and then they become untouchable. So in the book of Leviticus, he said there's certain sacrifices that I want you to wring out at the bottom of the altar and bring the blood up the side of the altar and then get to the fire. Now, Moses, why does God tell us that? He said, I'll tell you why. No man needs to get to the fire until he's bloodied an altar somewhere. No way. No way to build a church without bloodying an altar somewhere. No way to build a church except first the grain of wheat fall in the ground and die. For every successful institution I've ever seen in the work of God, I promise you, somebody died. Somebody bloodied the side of an altar somewhere. And this scene in heaven, the angel said, I'm bringing it down to earth and giving it to Isaiah. We have to internalize this truth. That our message is not all fire, as fiery as it is. But there's got to be some blood. Death. Too much cheap Christianity today. Salvation is free, but discipleship will cost you everything. The power of the blood. How are we going to get out of Egypt? Kill a lamb. Well, we got a small family. He said, okay, small family, share your lamb with a neighbor. No provision made for a family that was too big. Fella said, Lord, I got a wife and 20 young'uns. That's all right. Do I need to kill two lambs? Nope, one's enough. The lamb is always sufficient. See, Leviticus 17 and 11 said, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement. The blood, an atonement means a covering. The blood covers and protects. A little girl was asked in her Sunday school class, Susie, is there anything God can't do? And the teacher was poised to hear Susie say, no, teacher, there's nothing God can't do. And Susie said, yes, teacher, there's something God can't do. The teacher said, what is it? She said, he cannot see my sins that are under the blood of Jesus. The blood of the Lamb makes an atonement, a covering. It did not just deliver them, but it covered and purged them from their wicked past. In the land of Egypt, they were able to make a clean break with sin because it covered. Covered. Nothing. Satan fears. He tries every now and then to drag stuff out from under the blood. Don't you ever tamper with the blood? You know why the men of Beth Shemeth were killed? 50,000 of them. You know why they died? They ran out impetuously and took the lid off the ark. TF-10 is not fooling with it. Because it's dangerous. God won't uncover it. In fact, God said, I forgot it. Exodus 8:23. I'll put a division, he said.
Between my people
and thy people. All right, Pharaoh. I'm going to put a division. The word division there means curtain or redemption or curtain of redemption. And the Lord was saying to Pharaoh, I'm going to divide the land with an invisible curtain of something between my people and your people, Pharaoh. And my people are going to be protected by a redemptive covering unseen. I will put redemption between my people and thy people. The Hebrew Bible literally reads like that. The blood is going to come between the plagues of Egypt and the blessings of the children of Israel. And even when Egypt is under judgment, my people are mysteriously going to be protected because of their faith in the blood of the Lamb that's going to be slain. Protected. Pardon my colloquialism, all hell breaks loose in Egypt. And there's peace in the land of Goshen. Darkness in Egypt, light in the land of Goshen. The plagues start coming. Frogs. Bloody Nile, and then the frogs. Croak, croak, croak. All over. Mrs. Pharaoh goes to pull the bed sheets back at night, and here they jump, 50 of them out of her bed. Ah! And Pharaoh comes running. Darling, what is it? What is it? Look all over this room. Every drawer I open in my closet. He said, it's Moses. It's Moses. It's Moses. If I could just get him. And about that time, the next day, here came the flies. Oh, brother. But can you see those frogs? The day before, they just worried and worried all the Egyptians. And about that time, the head honcho frog said, hey, there's fresh meat in the land of Goshen. We hadn't been over there yet. Let's go sick the Israelites. And here the frogs go, croak, croak, we're going. Where are you going? Land of Goshen. Croak, croak, croak. And all of a sudden, they come to something. Boink, boink. And they say to the head frog, what is it? He said, well, I can't see nothing. Boink, boink. But I can't get past it. He said, there's some kind of invisible wall there. There's something that divides them from the rest of these people over here. And I can see the frogs stacking up like cordwood. And the children of Israel on the other side. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can't get me. Amen. For the power of the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Judgment is coming on this old world. But to them that look for him, will he appear the second time? And the flies came. I can hear Miss Pharaoh. Flies. Take the children down for breakfast. We want cereal, Mama. She pours it out. They said, oh, goody. Raisin bland. That's what we want, raisin bran. She looks, that's not raisins. Flies. But when the flies start toward the land of Goshen, bzz, boing, there's a curtain of redemption. Protection. Locusts can't reach them. Israel in Egyptians' bondage, a lifetime of slavery and poverty. But suddenly, one memorable night, everything changed. And he said, the blood shall be for you a token. Did you hear me read that T-O-K-E-N? You know what a token is? That's a little imitation of the real thing. And if a token got 3 million people out of Egypt, if a token pushed back the Red Sea, if a token protect them from frogs and locusts and flies, what would the real thing do? And what we have tonight is the real thing. It's not a token. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm preaching to you about the real blood of the real Lamb of God, not a token. You see, the blood of bulls and goats and lambs only roll those sins ahead 1 year at a time. Abel slew a lamb for one person. In the 12th of Exodus, they slew a lamb for a family. Balaam slew a lamb for the nation. But I'm not talking to you about a lamb for a man, a family, or a nation. But when John looked up from the banks of the muddy river Jordan, he said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. the sin of the world. He didn't just roll it ahead. He took it away. Go! Blood. Can you imagine? No, it's hard to imagine, but Psalms 105:37 said when they left, there wasn't a feeble one among them. All their disease healed, all their sickness healed. Prison doors opened, anybody in prison, liberation came all in one night. Can you see them running in to somebody's house? An old grandpa sitting in the easy chair. Papa, yes, darling. Moses said it's time to go. We're fixing to get out of here, son. I'm sorry. Y'all will have to leave me. My rheumatism is so bad till I can hardly walk. You know, I've got to have crutches. Papa, Moses said we're all going. Said we're not even leaving a hoof behind, much less you. Well, I'm sorry. Papa, Moses said try it. Well, all right. I know it's no use, but I... What is it? What's happened to me? And the Bible said there wasn't a feeble one. Not a feeble one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Grandma, come out of that bed, honey. God's touched you. We're going out of Egypt with a high hand. Because of the power of the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Oh, blood does many things. Of Leviticus. If you're in bondage tonight, hear me. The law of the cleansing of the leper. Two birds were taken captive by the priest. One bird was killed, notice this, in an earthen vessel. Blood confined to an earthen vessel. And then running water was poured in with that blood. And then they took cedar wood, scarlet, and hyssop and wrapped it around that blood. Strange. Earthen vessel, blood, water, wood, red. Then they took the live bird. The high priest took him in his hand and sloshed him. Can you imagine that poor little bird? His heart was beating and the living birds dipped in the blood of the bird that was killed, the substitute, and trembling, frightened, bloody. He felt the tight hand of the law represented by the priest. And then the priest had to hold his hand high and slowly release the captive bird and let him free and let him soar and fly, set free by the blood of a substitute. That's how I got out of Egypt. Blood. Somebody said, Brother Tenney, where is the blood applied? Where isn't the blood applied? Let's talk about that. Don't get hung up on where it is. Let's get hung up on where it isn't. If, as Paul taught in Hebrews, the blood, antitype simile, if there was blood at the mercy seat, there was blood on his thumb, on his big toe, it was anointed with oil. You can't get to the fire till you've been through the blood if you do it God's way. All I can see is the lip of the way. I need purging. Your dead flesh needs. They will sit on you like a hen on a doorknob and wonder why it won't hatch. Tell you, if you need life in the spirit, if there is a dullness that's come to your Christian walk, you need to get back under the power of the blood. He said it'll purge you from dead works. Praise God. I was in a meeting about a year ago, one of our pastors in Louisiana on Sunday night. Man, they were having a time. And I was sitting by him on the platform, just like Brother Thompson here, and there's a young man on the front pew. Every song, he'd jump up and fire. Hallelujah. On his feet, popping his hands, on beat, off beat. Pastor grinned, pumped me. He said, he's brand new. I could tell it. He said, 6 weeks ago, you ought to see him. Said he was on pot, dope. Said I had a hair halfway filthy. Said he stumbled in here. Said, oh, I could tell that pastor was proud of him. And I didn't blame him. I like those young ones that hasn't gotten over the excitement yet. You know, I know what it is for a few old moss backs to punch one another and said, well, I was like that when I first got it, but he'll cool down after a while. I've known him for 35 years, and I'm hotter tonight for him than I was when I first found him. Hallelujah. I love him like I never loved him. I never was any more excited about the gospel of Christ. I'm still excited about the dynamic delivering power of an all-sufficient Christ. Cut that dull flesh off. Get back to the life that's in the blood. Anyhow, somebody got up to sing a special. Boy, he was the first one on his feet, jumping and bouncing. The pastor said, look at him. He said, he's excited about it. Oh, boy, his chest was just swell. Brand new convert. About that time, I had a testimony meeting. He was the first one up. Pastor just grinning. He said, saints, y'all know I hadn't been saved long. He said, today, said, the devil got after me. Said, he worried me and worried me all day long. Said, I don't know much about the devil. Finally, he said, it hit me what to do. He said, I turned around, I said, devil, you know I've only had the Holy Ghost 6 weeks, and I don't know how to handle you. He said, my pastor's been saved a long time. Said, go jump on him. He'll know what to do with you. That pastor looked at me. He said, I didn't teach him that. I didn't teach him that. Oh, brother, but if there's anything that Satan fears, he fears the power of the blood of the Lamb. Praise God. Some Christians don't have any life in them anymore. They're merely an expression of the self-life. Get under the blood. Singing about the blood. Thinking about the blood. Praying under the blood. Praise. Plugged into the blood. Pleading the blood. I'll talk to you about that in a minute. Daniel chapter 9 verse 21. Daniel said, while I was praying,
even the man Gabriel,
oh, here came that angel Gabriel,
whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly.
Caused, something caused him to fly to me swiftly.
Touched me about the time of the evening oblation.
During the time when they were shedding the blood of the evening sacrifice. I was praying at the time of the shedding of the blood. I was praying under the blood. And God sent an angel. And he came swiftly and touched me. Friend, prayer is answered through the blood. Hear me. We used to have an expression in Pentecost. I don't hear much anymore. I plead the blood. I plead with God that the blood of Jesus might avail in this my dire need. And instead of spitting out that whole sentence, the old timers just said, I plead the blood. I am praying under the blood. Lord, I need an angel quick. I'm down here in Babylon. I need help quick. Do you know what I believe the closet of prayer is? Jesus said, get in your closet to pray. I don't believe it's a literal closet. I've had saints tell me, Brother Tenney, I'm afraid to pray and tell God because the devil will hear me. And if he hears what I'm praying about, he'll know my weakness. Let me tell you something. That closet of prayer is under the blood. And when you get under the blood, the devil can't hear you. When you're praying at the time of the evening sacrifice, he can't hear you. You forget about him plugging in. He's not tuned into that channel. I can see him listening. I wonder what they're praying about. What's going on in that prayer closet? And he's beating on the door trying to get your attention. But he can't get in. You're under the blood. The blood. The blood. The blood. The blood. Acts chapter 5 said they filled Jerusalem with this doctrine and want to bring the blood of this man on our head. You know what they were filling Jerusalem with? The doctrine of the blood. Everywhere they went, they were talking about the blood. 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 Oh. The blood. Lord, if we only understood how to plead the blood and to pray under the blood. I remember the old timers. I remember Brother S.G. Norris. He used to walk the platform, by the way, his tie hanging about 3/4 down, doing his hand like this. I plead the blood. Did you ever see him do that? I plead the blood. I plead the blood. Brother Tenney, that's crazy. A lot of this is crazy, but you ought to try it. The carnal man receiveth not the things of the Spirit because they're spiritually discerned. He's hidden it from the wise and prudent and revealed it unto babes. I know some churches call it slaughterhouse religion and have ripped the hymns about the blood out of their songbooks and have said it's uncouth for women and ladies to hear, and preachers have quit preaching on it anymore. Whenever the devil first wanted to take the power out of denominationalism, he ceased preaching the blood. Jesus Christ shed his blood in four places. First, in the Garden of Gethsemane, his sweat became as great drops of blood. He said, "Not my will, but thine be done." He was offering himself and his will. Prayer under the blood conquers the human will. Nothing will conquer the human will but a Gethsemane prayer. The Lord can handle the devil easier than he can the human will. That's why a lot of stuff we say, the devil made me do it, no such a thing. Blood in the garden. Second time blood was shed was a crown of thorns around his head, and blood came down, cut his head. What does that represent? Symbolizes the curse. Thorns came to the earth as a curse when Adam and Eve fell. Jesus redeemed us from the curse. Too many Christians are living in thorny patches of mental hatred and fear and inferiority. The blood of Jesus speaks against that depression. Third time he shed his blood was at the whipping post. Roman soldiers took his clothes off and beat him with a cat of nine tail whips. Metal or bone tied to the end of the nine strands of that cat of nine tails. Somebody said they beat him 40 stripes save one. Show me that in the Bible. That was Hebrew law. He wasn't beat under Hebrew law. He was beat under Roman law. And under Roman law, only the captain of the whipping post could determine when they quit beating. Only God knows how many times he was beat. Why, Brother Tenney, was his back beat? I'll tell you why. If you ever had a doctor come in, give you a report, we've made x-rays, this is wrong, that's wrong, set your house in order. I'm sorry. We'll do all we can, but it's over. Did you ever hear that? Somebody comes in. Well, how are you? Well, I just got the doctor's report. How was it? Bad. And I'm not denying it. and have no fault to find with doctors. And they're honest in their report. But Isaiah said, I got another report. You want a second opinion? Isaiah 53:1 said, who hath believed our report? Well, I believe the doctor's report. I believe the x-rays. Fine. But I can tell you where you can get a second opinion. Isaiah said, who hath believed our report? By his stripes we are healed. His back was beaten for your healing. And right where you're seated right now, he can send his word and heal you instantly now by the power of the blood of the Lamb who was beaten, by whose stripes we are healed. Fourth place the blood was shed is the cross, a spear in his side. The shedding of that blood redeemed us totally from sin and death. Blood everywhere. Blood everywhere. Let me tell you something about this blood. It's unique. It's got personality. Hebrews 12:24 said it speaks. Now wait a minute, preacher. Acts 20:28 tells us that we're saved by the blood of God. Read it. God's blood. Hebrews 12:24 said the blood of Jesus speaketh better things than that of Abel. That means it talks, and speech represents personality. Well, I don't understand that. I really believe there's times when the blood speaks for us that we know nothing about. See, the devil has plotted something against Brother Ellis. Brother Ellis doesn't know it. Nobody knows it. The devil's got his plans all laid. And he slips up behind Brother Ellis. Brother Ellis just smiling, driving down the road. Don't know, you know what's going on. And the devil's just about to lay his hand when suddenly something unheard by Brother Ellis and unheard by anything else speaks and says, get your cotton-picking hands off my child. Ah! And I can see the devil run all the way back to hell. And the head honcho in hell said, what's the matter? He said, Ellis is one of those that's under the blood. And it talked to me. And it told me to get out of there. And you know I'm not fooling with anybody that's under the blood. The power of the blood of the Lamb. Speaks. And it speaks redemptively too, not condemnatory. The blood. Friend, when his side was riven, oh God, what happened? Hebrews 10:19-20.
Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus.
The holiest by the blood of Jesus. Whew. I take the blood and go marching in to the purest light, to the deepest mystery, to the secret place. Brother Tenney, how did you get in? Let me tell you how I got in. Whenever his side was ripped, the Bible said the veil in the temple was ripped. And the Bible said that veil was his flesh. And the whole side of God opened up. And the Lord said, come walking through the wound. Walk right into my heart. Walk into the mind of my holiest of holies. And this mind that's in Christ can be in you. I literally walked through the wound. A mystery of mysteries. We have access. We have access. Purged. Delivered. Protected. I plead the blood. You're walking a blood speck away if you will practice the presence of the blood of the Lamb. I never get in an automobile. I may not articulate it, but I say it. I plead the blood. Brother Tenney, what if I do that and something happens? If it happens under the blood, it's all right. God is still good. Give you an example. Several years ago, I was preaching. Well, it's been at least 20 years ago. I was preaching a meeting in Bangor, Maine Convention. Some of you folks, old timers, may have been there. I don't know. 2 o'clock one morning, I woke up out of a dead sleep. Meeting was at Brewer. And my wife and children, the children were small, then flashed before me and a great imminent presence of danger. All I had time to say was, Lord, I don't know what it is, but I plead the blood of the Lamb. And instantly peace settled over me and I went back to sleep right away. That was on Thursday night. I got home the next Monday. And I asked my wife, we lived out in a suburb out in the woods. There was only one other house around us, surrounded by trees. And I asked my wife right after I got in, I said, what happened the other morning about 1 o'clock in the morning, your time, last Thursday morning? She said, well, go look out the front door and you'll see. And I went and looked out the front door, and in the adjoining piece of property to us, trees were torn up all the way coming. She said, now go look out the back door. And I went and looked out the back door, and behind my house, trees were torn up. She said, a tornado came through here, hit town, and said came right through the woods until it got to our house, and it went right around us and started in behind the house, just like. Brother Tenney, what do you think it was? I think here came that tornado until it hit that curtain of redemption. Boing! Oh, I plead the blood! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Satan recognizes the blood. The elements recognize the blood. Angels recognize the blood. When I was foreign missions director and traveled overseas, frequently I would have Asiatic or African. I'm not going to go into long explanation, but there are different principalities in the powers of Satan. There are gutter demons, and there are intelligent demons that are angels of light and everything in between. Well, I'd come home from Africa, Asia. Many, many times one of those demons would follow me home. He said, well, Brother Tim, that's weird. Well, it's true anyhow. I have awakened in the middle of the night to see strange black globs coming into my bedroom. We have awakened in the middle of the night with our children in different bedrooms to hear them simultaneously scream. And them in different bedrooms. So I would instantly, and I'm not that spiritual, discern that one of those things had followed me home again. Many is the night I got up and went through my house into every room saying, I plead the blood. I take dominion over every evil spirit by the power of the blood of the Lamb. And I command you in the name of Jesus to go back to where you came from and get out of this house. And instantly you could feel the peace and the relief, because I purged my own home with the power of the blood of the Lamb. Strange language, sure is. Sister Tenney and I were in a near fatal automobile accident several years ago, and she was nearly killed. In fact, her spirit did leave her body twice. But I wasn't hurt as badly, and she was unconscious next to me, blood all over her. I was rattled. And here came people rushing to the car. And my wife was bleeding, just one glob of blood. I don't know what they thought. I had my hands on her head saying, I plead the blood. They probably thought that's the craziest man that ever lived. His wife is bleeding to death and he's pleading the blood. But you believe this, preacher. You are purged by the blood. You're delivered by the blood. You're protected by the blood. You're saved by the blood. Nothing saves you but the blood of the Lamb. And your faith. And the efficacy of that blood. Revelation 11 and 8. Now, listen to me. Did you hear that? That scripture said our Lord was crucified in Sodom and Egypt. Now, you know better than that. But, Brother Tenney, let me get ahead of myself and tell you right now so you can do it. Take the limits off the atonement. Take the limits off the atonement. Quit saying what God can save and what God can't save. Now you know what that means? Where our Lord was crucified, Egypt. Every lamb that was slain, from that first Passover lamb forward, for every man that lived righteously, was taken away at the cross of Calvary. So he went all the way back to Egypt and planted the cross. Said he died in Egypt. And he heard somebody as he was coming up through the generations, cleaning them up by the blood of the Lamb. He heard somebody say, God can't save homosexuals and sodomites. He said, wait a minute. Stop right here at Sodom. What you gonna do, Lord? I'm gonna put up a cross right there. The lowest part of the then known earth, and one of the most sordid sins in the universe. But take the limits off the atonement. He said, I can save men out of Sodom. By the power of the blood of the Lamb. I have given you up on an altar. The blood to make an atonement, says Leviticus 17. But my friends, terminology without reality is dangerous. You can use this. You can use it. It'll work. Several months ago, we were at a big building program at our camp complex. And I was so busy. It was a $1.7 million job. And you know, success has many shareholders, but failure is the sole responsibility of the man in charge. I learned that a long time ago from Lyndon Johnson. I was so busy, and I was driving toward the tabernacle where the men were working, and suddenly, morning hours, I felt a check, and the Lord said, go pray. First, I said, now, I am so busy. Go pray. So I just turned the car around, went back to the house. Sister Tenney was at the office. Nobody home. Went into the den. Now, some people watch and pray, but I rock and pray. I pray in a rocking chair. Now, I went to my prayer spot, got in the rocking chair. And just as I started praying, God spoke a name to me. Of a preacher that I hadn't seen since General Conference, hadn't heard from him, and nearly 2,000 miles away. So I just picked up the phone, got his number, dialed him. His wife answered. I spoke to her. She started crying. I said, what's the matter? She said, our world has fallen. And she said, I was just praying. And I said, God, move on somebody to call me with a word of wisdom from the Lord. And she said, I had no more than said it than the phone rang and it was you. She said, what has the Lord told you? I said, okay, what's your problem? And she said, it's our son. And she told me the story. Grown young man, deep trouble. I won't give you the details. Deep trouble. Facing possibly death. Threat of his life. No way out. She said, what can I do? I said, okay, here's what the Lord wants you to do. I said, you go up to his room. She said, he's not staying at home. I said, where is he? She said, he's got an apartment. I said, can you get in it? She said, yeah. I said, you go to his apartment. You go in and lay your hands on his bed and you plead the blood. I said, you get in his closet and touch everything he wears and you plead the blood. I said, you go get in his car and you get a hold to the steering wheel and you plead the blood. And I said, you hold him under the blood. I said, this is something we've got to fight. You don't just sit back and whine. You got to fight. And our weapon against this is the blood. It's our curtain of redemption. It's our protection. I said, if that don't work, I don't know what to tell you. She said, I'll do it. 2 months later, she called me. In fact, I just saw him again. I talked to him the other day. And the boy's back on the straight and narrow. And he was delivered. And he was saved by the power of the blood. You got an unsaved child? Plead the blood. You got a husband in sin? Plead the blood. You got an unsolvable problem? Plead the blood. Sin cannot stain you so deeply that the blood cannot penetrate and eradicate. Take the limits off the atonement. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. The veil of resentment became a veil of atonement. Oh, he said, you who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood. By the blood. For as much as ye know, you're not redeemed by corruptible things, but by the blood. The blood of his son, Jesus, cleanseth us from all sin. They overcame him. Blood of the Lamb. Learn to use it in your daily walk, in your prayer against the devil, over your loved ones. Learn to use it in faith. Now, some of you are here tonight, I feel it in the Holy Ghost. Say, well, Brother Tenney, I have failed the Lord. I don't advocate that. John said, I write unto you little children that you sin not. But if some of you are here in this condition, you've got hidden sin in your life. And you're under conviction and you're under condemnation. And the devil's told you it's no use. You've tried before and failed. You're a loser. I'm here to tell you, you're a winner. Take the limits off the atonement. It's an insult to Calvary to think that my God can't save you. I'd hate to think that the devil could get a man in a bigger mess than Jesus could get him out of. Oh, hallelujah. He is able. 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 You can be set free, and whosoever the Son of God sets free, they're free indeed. Now, John said, I write unto you, little children, that you sin not, but if any man sin. John said, I know a good lawyer that'll take your case. Some of you are sitting here tonight under conviction and condemnation. I know a good lawyer. And let me tell you about my lawyer. I've used him. He has passed the bar, and he's the only one I know that can practice law before the tribunal of God in the regal courts of high glory. He's the only one. And I promise you, he has never lost a case. I never lost a game. Well, Brother Tenney, I can't afford him. That's what's beautiful. He won't charge you a dime. Not only that, if you get fined when you get there, he'll pay you fine. And if you're condemned to death, he'll die for you. I know a good lawyer. I write unto you little children that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Oh, the blood. Thank God for the blood. Let's stand and praise God. The only thing that'll save you is the blood. Let's clap our hands to the glory of God. Hallelujah for the blood. Protected, delivered, purged by the blood of the Lamb. Glory. Hell fears it. Satan trembles. Sin respects it. Disease must flee by the power of the blood. Well, there is power.